Rome establishes the vision. Number 13. The controversies of Rome, understanding the final test of the image of the beast. Key takeaways. This article examines the various prophetic controversies within Advent history concerning Rome, focusing on how these controversies connect to the last day's test, the formation of the image of the beast. Through an analysis of six prophetic lines, including the controversies around Daniel 11:14, Uriah Smith and James White's disputes, the Daily in Daniel, and more, the article highlights the critical role of understanding Rome's prophetic significance. It underscores the importance of correctly interpreting the image of the beast, the role of the United States, and the broader implications for Adventists as they face the final test before the sealing of God's people. Introduction to prophetic controversies. Overview of six prophetic lines of controversy in Advent history, focusing on Rome's significance. The centrality of Daniel 11:14 in understanding these controversies, from Uriah Smith to modern interpretations. The formation of the image of the beast. Explanation of the image of the beast as the final test for God's people before the sealing. The role of the United States in forming an image to the papal power, leading to the enforcement of Sunday laws. The significance of the Sunday law in the United States as a marker of the nation's full disconnection from God and the beginning of global persecution. Prophetic principles in Rome. The importance of understanding the relationship between pagan Rome, papal Rome, and modern Rome in prophecy. The United States as a typified power that bows in submission to the papacy, reflecting the image of the beast. Misinterpretations and their consequences. Critique of the flawed view that identifies the United States as the robbers of thy people in Daniel 11:14. The dangers of confusing the image of the beast, a reflection of Rome, with Rome itself. The role of the United States in end-time prophecy. The United States' prophetic role as a power that enforces the papal Sunday law, fulfilling its image to the beast. The concept of homage to Rome and how the U.S. facilitates global acceptance of papal authority. The mirror principle in prophecy, the spiritual principle of reflection, how beholding Christ's character transforms believers into his image. The parallel between the formation of the image of Christ in the faithful and the formation of the image of the beast in the apostate. Type and antitype in prophecy. The importance of correctly applying the principles of type and antitype in understanding the role of Rome and the United States. How the rejection of type and antitype principles leads to spiritual deception and a failure to understand the prophetic vision. Conclusion. The urgency of correctly interpreting prophetic symbols in the context of the last days, the final test of the image of the beast as a defining moment for God's people, determining their eternal destiny. The need for vigilance and adherence to true prophetic principles to avoid being deceived by false interpretations. As we bring the consideration of the various controversies which have occurred in Advent history together, line upon line, in order to conclude our understanding of the current issue, we have taken selected attributes of five prophetic lines. The first line is also the last line, for both controversies were directly based upon verse 14 of Daniel 11's "Robbers of thy people." We considered the controversies of Uriah Smith and James White and the controversy of the Daily in the book of Daniel. We considered the controversy that occurred after the unsealing of the last six verses of Daniel 11 in 1989 concerning the King of the North. We then considered the four insects of the book of Joel. There is so much more that might be added to each of these lines, but we are simply isolating certain characteristics that contributed to the positions that rejected the truths connected with the subject of Rome. Five histories, but the first also being the last, represents six lines. The prophetic setting for these lines of controversy is the last days, so for this reason, the lines are to be applied during the test of the image of the beast. The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes, for it is to be the great test for the people of God by which their eternal destiny will be decided. This is the test that the people of God must have before they are sealed. Manuscript Releases, Volume 15:15. The test of the formation of the image of the beast is, as with the other six lines of controversy, a test concerning the prophetic subject of Rome. The great test that occurs before God's people are sealed is about the formation of the image of the Roman beast. The beast is the papal power, and the United States forms an image of the papal power as it progresses to the soon coming Sunday law. In order for the United States to form an image of the beast, the religious power must so control the civil government that the authority of the state will also be employed by the church to accomplish her own ends. The Great Controversy, 443. That Sunday law in the United States identifies that the image of the beast has been fully formed in the United States. But in the very act of enforcing a religious duty by secular power, the churches would themselves form an image to the beast. Hence, the enforcement of Sunday keeping in the United States would be an enforcement of the worship of the beast and his image. The Great Controversy, 449. At the Sunday law, the image of the beast has been fully formed in the United States, and the United States is then fully disconnected from God, and it begins its prophetic work of forcing the entire world to form an image of the beast. At the Sunday law in the United States, Satan begins his marvelous work in leading the nations of the world to repeat the process of forming an image of the beast that encompasses all the nations of the world. By the decree, enforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, our nation will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. When Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. Testimonies, Volume 5, 451. At the soon coming Sunday law in the United States, Satan, in cooperation with the United States, will force every nation to follow the example of the United States in forming a church and state system and enforcing Sunday worship. Satan will work the miracles to deceive those who dwell upon the earth. Spiritualism will do its work by causing the dead to be personated. Those religious bodies who refuse to hear God's messages of warning will be under strong deception and will unite with the civil power to persecute the saints. The Protestant churches will unite with the papal power in persecuting the commandment-keeping people of God. This is that power which constitutes the great system of persecution which will exercise spiritual tyranny over the consciences of men. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Though professing to be followers of the Lamb of God, men become imbued with the spirit of the dragon. They profess to be meek and humble, but they speak and legislate with the spirit of Satan, showing by their actions that they are the opposite of what they profess to be. This lamb-like power unites with the dragon in making war upon those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Satan unites with Protestants and Papists, acting in consort with them as the God of this world, dictating to men as if they were the subjects of his kingdom, to be handled and governed and controlled as he pleases. If men will not agree to trample underfoot the commandments of God, the spirit of the dragon is revealed. They are imprisoned, brought before councils, and fined. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Thus Satan usurps the prerogatives of Jehovah. The man of sin sits in the seat of God, proclaiming himself to be God and acting above God. Manuscript Releases, Volume 14, 162. The papal power is the beast, the United Nations is the dragon, and the United States is the false prophet. Those who become confused on the meaning of Antichrist, who is both Satan and Satan's earthly representative, the Pope of Rome, will end up on the side of Antichrist. The United States is not the man of sin. The man of sin is the Antichrist, and he is Satan's earthly representative. To confuse the power that places the papacy on the throne of the earth with the papacy is represented by Paul as evidence of not loving the truth. to reject the prophetic relationship of pagan Rome who restrained the papal power until pagan Rome was removed, in order for the papal power to be revealed, as set forth in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is to reject the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and accept the outpouring of the unholy Spirit, which Paul identifies as strong delusion. That being said, each of the ancient prophets spoke more directly of the last days than the days in which they lived. Each of the ancient prophets spoke less for their own time than for ours, so that their prophesying is in force for us. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. 1 Peter 1:12. The Bible has accumulated and bound up together its treasures for this last generation. All the great events and solemn transactions of Old Testament history have been, and are, repeating themselves in the church in these last days. Selected Messages, Book 3, 338-39. Pagan Rome and the Man of Sin in 2 Thessalonians represents the United States and Papal Rome of the last days. To misunderstand this truth is to demonstrate, among other things, that even if a person claims to be basing their private interpretation upon the principle of type and antitype, they actually do not understand type and antitype. The United States has been typified by several powers in sacred history. Every two-horned power represents the United States in the last days, whether it be the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel, the Medo-Persian Empire, or atheistic France, represented by Sodom and Egypt. The period when the United States forms an image of and to the beast has been typified by the iron and clay of Daniel 2, and the little horn that manifests as male and female in Daniel 8, as well as the prophets of Baal and priests of the grove in the witness of Elijah at Mount Carmel. Salome typifies the United States in the witness of Herod's drunken birthday party. Pergamos typifies the United States and identifies the compromise that leads to Thyatira, which typifies the papal power of the last days. Clovis, king of the Franks in 496, typifies the United States in the Ronald Reagan era. Justinian in 533 represents Donald Trump in advance of the Sunday law. In each typification, the United States represents the power that bows in submission to the papal power of the last days. The power who bows in submission is represented as paying homage to Rome. The act of homage includes bowing to the king who is the head. It has been shown that the United States is the power represented by the beast with lamb-like horns, and that this prophecy will be fulfilled when the United States shall enforce Sunday observance, which Rome claims as the special acknowledgement of her supremacy. But in this homage to the papacy, the United States will not be alone. The influence of Rome in the countries that once acknowledged her dominion is still far from being destroyed. And prophecy foretells a restoration of her power. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Verse 3. The infliction of the deadly wound points to the downfall of the papacy in 1798. After this, says the prophet, his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Paul states plainly that the man of sin will continue until the second advent. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-8. To the very close of time he will carry forward the work of deception. And the Revelator declares, also referring to the papacy, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life. Revelation 13:8. In both the Old and the New World, the papacy will receive homage in the honor paid to the Sunday institution that rests solely upon the authority of the Roman Church. The Great Controversy, 578. The last sentence provides more evidence that Sister White understood the expression Old World to represent Europe and the New World to represent the Americas. That being as it is, the United States that pays homage to the papal power and forces the rest of the world to do the same. This identifies the United States as in subjection to the directions of the papal power. Isaiah's identification and emphasis upon understanding the head in order to be established finds its divine purpose in that the symbol head becomes a key to understand the external line of prophecy and also the internal line of prophecy. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Isaiah 7:8-9. In the last days, which is when every prophet's testimony is in force, the robbers of thy people establish the vision. Upon the authority of the spirit of prophecy, and in agreement with the foundational truths of Adventism, as represented upon the two sacred charts of Habakkuk, the robbers are a symbol of Rome. When pagan Rome inserted itself into history for the first time in 200 BC, they typified modern Rome of the last days. This prophetic truth is what establishes the prophetic vision of the last days. And if you refuse to see that modern Rome's head is the papal power, then surely you will not be established. The world is filled with storm and war and variance. Yet under one head, the papal power, the people will unite to oppose God in the person of his witnesses. Testimonies, Volume 7, 182. If you have ears to hear, then you may understand that a primary failing of the Jews of Christ's era was that they identified the shadow as the substance. The Jews before and after the cross trusted in the types of their system of worship and rejected the antitype. They argued that the shadow was the substance, and in doing so they left in the inspired record a people in the last days who will also identify the shadow as the substance. When the United States forms an image to the beast, they are forming a shadow of the beast. They are forming a shadow of the substance, for an image is a typification. To identify the United States, when it forms the image of the beast as the symbol of modern Rome, is to parallel ancient Israel's rejection and crucifixion of the great antitype. Those teaching the flawed view that the United States is the robbers of thy people speak much about their use of type and antitype, and they often identify the United States as the image of the beast, and somehow think that by identifying the United States as the image of the beast, somehow proves the United States is the robbers. If they truly allowed themselves to be governed by the basic principles of type and antitype, they would quickly see that the prophetic role of the United States, which has been repeatedly typified in God's Word, identifies the United States as the power that is in subjection to the papal authority. They would see that without the beast as the point of reference, it is absurd to identify an image to the beast that did not exist. The only thing which can define the image of the beast is the beast itself, for the papal power is what establishes the image in the looking glass vision. The parallel line of prophecy to the United States forming an image of the beast is when the horn of true Protestantism forms an image of Christ. That formation is specifically identified in Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel beholds the Mara vision, which is the looking glass vision. Daniel represents those who behold Christ, and in so doing they reflect Christ's character. If the vision of Christ was not presented to Daniel, he would have been unable to reflect the character of Christ. In order for the 144,000 who are represented by Daniel in chapter 10 of forming an image of Christ within, they must behold his character. By beholding, they are changed. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Hebrew definition of the Mara vision, which Daniel beheld in chapter 10, is a vision, also causatively a mirror, looking glass, vision. The Greek word translated as glass in the previous verse is to mirror oneself, that is, to see reflected, figuratively, behold as in a glass. James also sets forth a line of truth connected with the looking glass. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 1:23-25. If we love the truth, and we are therefore a doer of the word, then the looking glass we behold is the perfect law of liberty. Then if we do not love the truth, and thereafter go our own way, as those with Daniel did when they fled, then the looking glass is simply a reflection of ourselves. God's law is the mirror presenting a complete reflection of the man as he is, and holding up before him the correct likeness. Some will turn away and forget this picture, while others will employ abusive epithets against the law as though this would cure their defects of character. Still others who are condemned by the law will repent of their transgressions and, through faith in Christ's merits, will perfect Christian character. Faith and Works 31. Daniel did not see himself in the looking glass vision. He saw Christ, who is the perfect representation of James' perfect law of liberty. Christ's life on earth is a perfect reflection of the divine law. In him is life and hope and light. Behold him, and you will be changed into the same likeness, from character to character. Signs of the Times, May 10, 1910. The image of the beast reflects the beast, and the formation of the image of the beast is the great test for the people of God, by which their eternal destiny will be decided. When the Protestant churches take control of the government of the United States, they will have formed an image of the church-state system which the papal power has always employed. In the same period of time, the image of Christ will be produced into his last day people. Yet those that were with Daniel saw not the vision, for they fled from the vision. The formation of the image of Christ produces a manifestation of two classes of worshipers. One class rejects the principle of reflection, the principle of reflection being represented by a mirror, for Christ employs the literal earthly things to represent spiritual heavenly truths. In Christ's parable teaching, the same principle is seen as in his own mission to the world. That we might become acquainted with his divine character and life, Christ took our nature and dwelt among us. Divinity was revealed in humanity, the invisible glory in the visible human form. Men could learn of the unknown through the known. Heavenly things were revealed through the earthly. God was made manifest in the likeness of men. So it was in Christ's teaching. The unknown was illustrated by the known. Divine truths by earthly things with which the people were most familiar. The scripture says, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Matthew 13, verse 34, 35. Natural things were the medium for the spiritual. The things of nature and the life experience of his hearers were connected with the truths of the written word. Leading thus from the natural to the spiritual kingdom, Christ's parables are links in the chain of truth that unites man with God and earth with heaven. Christ's Object Lessons 17. The spiritual principle of reflection is accomplished by looking into a mirror that represents Christ. And because the Mara vision is a causative vision, the image of Christ in the mirror produces the image of Christ in humanity. To claim the United States is what establishes the vision is to claim that the image of Daniel is what establishes Christ. Christ is what establishes the vision of his character and work, and the Antichrist is what establishes the vision of his character and work. The vision is what is reflected with the looking glass, and the vision is established by the robbers. To misunderstand an image of a beast by identifying the image as the actual beast produces parallel lines. The unconverted man sees himself in the mirror, or if he does see God's law, he throws contempt upon the law in an attempt to avoid its claims. A converted man sees Christ and his law in the looking glass. The United States forms an image to the papal power by beholding the papal power and duplicating it. The Antichrist is duplicated by the United States. Lucifer desired to be seated upon God's political and religious thrones. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Ezekiel 14, verse 12, 14. Satan is the Antichrist, and so too is the papal power. The papal power was seated in the church and reigned over the political thrones of Europe. The causative looking glass of Daniel chapter 10 when seen in its spiritual application, transforms those who behold into the image of Christ. That truth governs the line of the Antichrist. When a nation or an individual looks into the looking glass vision, it produces a causative effect, as it reproduces its image in either the individual or nation who beholds it, and that produces either the image of Christ or the image of the beast. It parallels the same effect represented by Daniel. Christ is what established the vision for Daniel, and the Antichrist establishes the vision for the United States when it forms an image of the beast. We will continue these thoughts in the next article.